All right, so this year our mission trip was in Jones County, North Carolina. And this was a very different kind of mission trip. In previous years, we had primarily worked with church planners. And so going into urban centers like Atlanta, New York, Philly, helping new church plants to be in the community. This year was different because it was construction-based mission trip. It wasn't something we've ever done before, and so this was a different feel. In fact, I'll have to be honest, I wasn't very excited about this mission trip because I feel like it wasn't very spiritual. I mean, we're just going there and building houses and doing things like that. But yet again, you know, God amazed me in the way that He can transform people, that He can connect with people, that He can impact us very deeply in just mundane everyday activities. You know, it doesn't have to be spiritual things like going to church where you experience God. You can experience God in all kinds of things that you do. And this was one such camp where I just got my eyes open that God would work so mightily that you will hear a little bit later in our mission team. And so where we went in Jones County was a community that was devastated by Hurricane Florence back in 2018. What happened was that the river, the days leading up to the hurricane, it was already a lot of rain. I think it was like 20-some inches of rain poured out. So the area was already flooded. And also what happened was when the hurricane came, the wind pushed all the water from the ocean into these areas. And so if you guys see Michael Rogers later, he's a pretty tall guy. Imagine the whole city was covered up to his head in water. And so you can imagine when we were driving down into this city, a lot of houses were abandoned. There were just nobody living in it. It was unkept. Things were overgrown. And those houses that we were helping, there were a lot of disaster recovery crews helping these families rebuild their homes. And so what you'll hear later from all our different groups, some group were working on siding, some were on roofing, so different things that we did. And yes, our teenagers had access to power tools, which freaked me out the most. I think if parents knew we were doing that, they wouldn't have let them go. And in fact, Winnie sent a video of one of the girls like chainsawing on a circular power saw. It freaked the parent out. But no one got injured, praise God. And they were very responsible. Each person that had a power tool given to them had a safety crew inspector. So they kind of stood there and make sure all the safety things were taken. And that's why nobody was injured. And so the theme, as you can see on there, for this year's mission trip was called Just Visiting, and it's from John 1:14. Let me read it out to you. It says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And, you know, in many ways, we were visitors. We were just there for a week, helping a community that had been devastated. And this passage and this theme really reminds us that when God looks at the world that He created, this world had been devastated by sin. We are all in bondage of sin and death and brokenness. And so Christ Himself came in flesh, just visiting this earth so that He could save us, so that He could rebuild our lives and transform our communities and transform people's lives so that we may know God. And so in a very small, I guess, insignificant way, our mission team members got to experience that, going into an area that was just devastated and going in there and helping out the community with no strings attached. You know, we weren't expecting the community to really do anything for us. In the same way Christ did that, it was through His grace that He came into this world to save us and not expecting anything except rebellion from us, except insults from us, but yet He still came to love us, to save us, to transform us. And so you're going to hear stories from all the different groups. And so we're going to invite the first group up here. If you guys move on to the next slide, which group is that? Jack of all trades. The girls, come on up. Here's your clicker.
Hello, everyone. My name's Katie, for those of you that don't know me. And this year, we, like Carter said, we went to Jones County, North Carolina for our mission trip, and we worked with Impact Missions. And our job was to help with hurricane disaster relief and mainly construction work. We were assigned into different crews when we got there, and Eileen, Michelle, Isabella, and I were in one crew. Unfortunately, Eileen and Michelle couldn't be with us today, so it's just me and Isabella. And our crew was the jack of all trades. You can probably tell we were kind of jacks of all trades. So instead of being assigned to one specific job the entire week, we had several multiple jobs that we finished in each day. So up here, it's a list, if you can read it. So the first day, we took down a carport. The second day, we took out sheetrock and insulation from a ceiling and dug trenches. You'll see a picture of that later. And on the third day, we cleared out some debris from the cellar of an old house. And that was also our free day in the afternoon. On day four, we put up a plywood ceiling. And on day five, we put up some sheetrock on the walls. So that's us digging trenches. That's Eileen on the left, and I think that's Isabella and me on the right. And this was day four, where we put up a plywood ceiling. It's me using the circular saw and Isabella using the power drill. No one got hurt.
Okay, so, this one? So I'll talk about what we basically took away from this mission trip, and I think most of us will agree that we kind of had a privilege check and like how much we take for granted. So if you think about it, we live really privileged lives. We have all this working water and good food and Wi-Fi and everything. We have air conditioning and shelter and clothes. But when the hurricane hit, victims didn't have any of those things anymore. They lost everything. So seeing that really opened all of our eyes seeing that really opened my eyes to how I go through life, and it changed my perspective. And I think that this mission trip was a really humbling experience for me, and I would definitely do it again. Thank you.
Okay, so hi, we are part of the group called No Problems, and it consists of me, Grace, Laura, and Ella, but Ella couldn't be here today, she's in China. So yeah, so this group was supposed to be for ceiling, drywall, and insulation, and when I first heard about that, I thought it would be really fun, because I grew up watching these TV shows where they were doing house reconstruction and stuff, and they would take down drywall, and I was like, wow, that's gonna be so fun. But for the week, we just put up insulation on the walls and ceiling. And for anybody that's done insulation before, I feel very bad for you, because it's very, very itchy. So yeah. The front part of the house was already rebuilt for us, and so our job was to work on the back half of the house, which had to be completely remodeled. Okay.
So we were one of the few groups that actually got to meet and talk with the homeowner. And during that time, the homeowner, Cynthia, and her husband, Bill, and her two grandsons were staying in, like, this tiny half of the house that was done with, but it had not a lot of air conditioning. It was really hot and kind of stuffy. From time to time, we had a couple of setbacks, which prevented us from putting up the insulation. So we spent that time talking with Cynthia, and her and her family were very welcoming, and were very grateful that they let us into her home to help.
So on the first day of the mission trip, we had an excess amount of time, so we decided to wipe all her walls and cupboards in the kitchen. The family had just moved back into the house on Thursday right before our crew came, so her house was really messy and dirty from the hurricane. And while we were cleaning, Cynthia told us that before you guys came, all I wanted to do was close my eyes and quit. And I'm so thankful you guys are here. I feel like that by going on this mission trip, we're helping out this family and we gave them hope to keep moving forward and rebuilding their lives. And so we are so grateful that we had this opportunity and to see how immensely our work impacted the lives of others.
Hello, my name's Michael. A few weeks ago, I went to the North Carolina mission trip, and my group's called the Sidekicks. We worked on siding at the house, and I just want to share some points that I learned from going to this mission trip. So here's a picture of our group leader. His name's Ralph, and what I see in him is a dedication to serve. As he's retired, but he's still volunteering to help the people at this place who have been victims of this hurricane. And I really just see a dedication to serve to everybody who went to this mission trip, as everybody kind of just worked hard without complaining. This is just a picture of the homeowners, and I just want to show this image because I think that many of the homeowners were appreciative of our help. And some came out to support and talk to the workers. And what I wish for them, what I want to happen is that they would be able to see God's grace through our work, and this would just bring them closer to God. And this is just a picture of worship time. I show this image because it just shows all the churches together, spending time with each other. And I think this experience has helped us make a community with other churches and just let us bond with people that are members in Christ. And during our work groups, we actually split into different groups made of different people from each of the churches, which allowed us to connect with them. And those are just some of the points that I learned from coming to this mission trip.
I'll let other kids share first, and I'll come back. Thank you.
Hi, this is our group.
next slide. Where's the clicker? Here, I gotta take a play. It's not working. Turn it on.
Okay, so on our first day, which was Sunday, we just arrived there and we didn't really do much. After dinner, we met up with our group and we had a leader named Cassie and another leader named Douglas. Okay, so on Monday was our first like work day. So we started by setting up all our tools, and we started like sweeping up the floor because it was really dirty, and we picked up the tiling and like basically destroyed it. On Tuesday, which was our second work day, we destroyed all the foundation using a sledgehammer, which was interesting. The sledgehammer actually broke while we were destroying it. So Wednesday was our day off, or half day off. So in the morning, we started rebuilding the foundation to the floor, and then our church went to the movies, and then we went to the mall. On Thursday, we didn't really have much time left to finish all the foundation, so we had to like work hard. And one of our leaders had to leave because he was needed elsewhere. So another person named Herb came, and he was actually in the Marines, and he also served with the CIA and is currently with the Department of Defense, which is cool. On Friday, this was our last day to work, and we basically had to finish everything, and we got the flooring done in time with a bit of time left over. Our group at the end had to go visit another group that was doing roofing, just because. Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Hello. So our team was called the Double Deckers, and I guess the thing that I learned from this trip was about like spontaneity and how God's plan can be different from ours at times. And so when we first signed up, I had no idea we would be doing roofing. And actually, we were kind of forced into this position because you had to be in high school to work on the roof, and we were pretty much the only high schoolers in our group. And we were like, okay, it's not that bad. Our job is primarily decking, so we won't have to be up on the roof very much. But it turned out that we only worked on the roof. So you can see here, there's some pictures of us. Our job was basically to lay down shingles, so one person would put them down, one would measure, and then another would nail them. And in the next picture, you can see there's actually different people on the roof than in the first picture, and that's because it was actually so hot that we had to switch our teams and rotate about every 30 minutes to an hour, depending on how hot it was, because of just how demanding the work was. But praise God that the weather cooled down halfway through the week, because it would have been torture if we had been up there the whole time. And in addition to breaks we got from rotating, we also took breaks every 1.5 to 2 hours, and we'd eat snacks, relax, and do a devotion. And we ended up working on the roof, I think, Monday through Thursday. Usually we worked about half the day, and then we would go on to work on other projects. And every year at the mission trips, I always talk about how I have like a new respect for people who do this and that and blah, blah, blah. But this year, I actually realized how hard it is for people who are working up on the roof and doing construction work like this, and just how like dedicated the people who volunteer to do this stuff are.
Okay, so that's us doing devotions during like the rest time. And wait, okay, So this is us digging trenches much faster than the jack of all trades. Yeah. Less people too. Okay, so on Tuesday afternoon, we came to the realization that after 12 o'clock, the roof, it was basically melting. You can't step on it or else it messes up. So this is what we went to. Yeah, it was great because it was on the floor and I'm afraid of heights. Great change. Yeah, and it was a great experience. That's more of us digging. The floor was really hard. I also hit a like utility line, I think. Yeah, not my fault. It wasn't marked. It was a great experience, I guess, for me, because I learned that it's not for me, it's for God. So there's no way he lets me fall from the roof. Like, yeah. So I became a lot less scared throughout the week.
Wait, what?
Yeah, just you can explain it, and then you can talk
about it. Oh, okay. So...
Next?
Okay. Oh, I clicked it twice. Wait. It goes like three times. You do it.
Okay, okay. All right.
Wait, am I supposed to explain that? Wait, oh.
She's terrible.
I thought this was for you.
Just, yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I wrote my own thing while sitting down there and waiting.
What is this?
So even though it was like...
What is it? Just talk about what you wrote. It's fine.
Yeah, okay. Ignore the slides. So even though it was like 100 degrees up there and there wasn't even a day where like it was so hot that we had to come down at noon because our leader didn't want any of us to pass out, we got the roof done really, really fast. We got it done in like 3 days and we just went to the other group. So everything went really smoothly, unlike what I expected. I thought something bad would happen. We only had... one injury, and that was me. I cut my hand open, opening a Gatorade bottle with a knife. But yeah.
And this is a picture of us. We went around to different job sites after it became too hot at ours. So this is a picture of us putting up sheetrock and taking out nails in one of the houses.
And so let me just add something. These guys are actually being really modest here, okay? We, and not to brag, but I think we kind of had the hardest job here. So heat indexes were actually reaching about 108 down in the North Carolina humidity in the middle of July. And we were estimating the temperature up on the asphalt was probably reaching about 125, 130 degrees. And so these teenagers were, I didn't hear them complain, not once, up on the roof. And so me and the crew chief actually very quickly on the first day decided we can't have them up here all day. We've actually got to rotate them out, and probably by around noon or 1 o'clock, we've actually got to get them off this roof, or else they're going to hurt themselves. They're going to overdo it. And so, and they actually got the roof done ahead of time. They actually got so much work done that the roof was... The project was actually completely done, and they were actually assigned to other sites and the actual other roof project, the other house that needed to be done that week. So. Winnie and Carter actually asked me to talk a little bit by myself here this morning about the trip itself. Kind of in a solo role. So if you can put my thumb drive in for my PowerPoint, the red thumb drive, if you don't mind. Is that it? Yeah, is that the first one? Okay. So this is basically just a quick Google Maps photo of the Pollocksville Baptist Church. So this was actually basically the base of operations for all the recovery going on in town. This is actually where we, when we came into town, where we kind of we ate our lunch and where the Virginia Baptist Disaster Recovery had all their equipment and their trucks and everything set up. and you can't really see it, but it's a church comparable in size to GCBCR. Nice church, very traditional. But this is actually that same church, what I could find in stock footage during the flood itself. So you can see kind of the damage, and this is actually further up in town from the river than where all the houses were. And so if you compare them side to side, you can kind of get a reference point of how bad the water was. So those of us who went, you see where the basement where we went every day to eat our lunch, basically that entire thing was underwater. So most of the houses that we were working on, they were essentially, the first floor was underwater. I mean, it was just completely destroyed. And this is some stock footage from that actual neighborhood itself. People were having to be rescued by foot. And so when we were working in this town, it led me to think, what would we do if this happened here in Goochland on Broad Street? Now, maybe a flood isn't the most appropriate analogy, but maybe a tornado would probably be a more appropriate analogy. What if a tornado ripped right through here in eastern Goochland, right along Broad Street, and took out the church and half of Short Pump? You know, what would we expect? Would we expect the public to rally to help us? Would we expect other churches to assist us and our church family? We would want that. We would definitely want that. And so it made me very appreciative and very humble, the fact that we were there and helping the Baptist community, and the fact that the Virginia Baptist Disaster Relief, that we were certainly, as a camp, we were going there, but we were certainly playing a role in that community. The other major thought that kind of occurred to me when I was asked to speak was, Pastor Rose kind of touched upon this, you know, on previous occasions, was how do we want to raise our children in the church? And this is more probably, I guess, geared towards the parents. And this isn't kind of like a guilt trip pitch here, but Proverbs 22:6 says, "Start your children off on the way that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." You know, one of the reasons I was kind of positive and wanted to go on this trip was because growing up in my youth group in my church, this is kind of what we did. We had a kind of a connection with Habitat for Humanity, and so we yearly our trips, this is what our youth group kind of did. And so when our church decided this is what we were going to do in North Carolina, I was on board because, well, this is what I'm used to. So, but that's, I guess, the pitch to the parents in the church to want to do this, to encourage the youth. The youth of this church were incredibly resilient. They can handle a lot more than you think they can. They did exceedingly well on this trip, and they can do this. And so my call to you guys would be to the parents to encourage the youth and to encourage you to participate, to go on these trips. So.
I'm sure you guys had already picked up some of the facts. Temperature 95 degrees, heat index greater than 100 degrees, every day 6.5 to 9 hours working in that condition, coming back to camp without air conditioning in our very primitive cabin setting, 20-some people in one such cabin and restroom, no AC, bugs and mosquitoes, lots of power tools, and yet the 21 people, 4 adults, 17 youth, we came back healthy, happy, closer to one another, and closer to God. when I think about these things, even just when I stand outside in the heat for 5 minutes, I'm just so amazed at the mighty power and sowing out of what God has done through us. And I want to specifically talk about one point, an observation that I had within our group. So if you look at our group, especially the 17 youth, there's a lot of diversity in terms of personality. Some of them are really quiet, maybe not as social, boys and girls, middle school, high schoolers. And we also had Eric, Laura, and Grace, who did not regularly attend our group, or, I mean, not really believers before they came on. Even during the 6 or so weeks in training leading to the mission trip, I just had this feeling in my heart that I was so worried about, especially the three of them, in terms of this group unity. And when we were going through trainings, I mean, these three, and probably a lot of them also thinking kind of, how is this relevant? Why is this, when we talk about gospel, when we talk about spreading God's love without knowing God, I mean, you know, some of the body language I could see, for example, Eric, earlier on you saw him, I mean, his hair was longer, and most of the time he's covering at least a majority of his face, right? And I don't believe I saw him smile at all once in those 6 weeks of training. He was an outsider, I would say that, right? And even the first couple of days on the camp, after work, he was running alone on his own. He loves running. The girls as well. So, but yet, what I saw, especially toward the end, is how this group came together. And every day after we came back, you saw the work that we did. And I mentioned the hours. They had so much energy to still play. I was so amazed. And when they did that, it was always a group. I don't see anyone being left out. There's just this great sense of community and a love between, you know, one another. They played pool together, they played volleyball, 17 kids and plus me crowded on one court, assassin, whatever games, and they did. It always as a great group. And in our, toward the end, even in our sharing time, you know, Laura, Grace, and Eric, they were all very vocal in sharing their experiences. And when we were leaving and talking about how we're going to do our testimony, you know, Eric even volunteered to be the lead for his group. Great, just amazing transformation on how they're not outsider, but none of them, none of us, we're just one group. In fact, we're so tight, I wanted to believe we even attracted others from other churches to want to hang out with this group. Again, I'm not doing a comparison to say we're better than others, but just that that love, that inclusion, and that unity just greatly moved me. And I want to share that's exactly in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35 says, "A new command I give you, love one another. All, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And how do we do it? I think only when we're filled with God's Spirit, and only when we're focused on serving God and serving others, we're able to do that. We're able to become one body. And so that's still a great lesson, a great kind of what God is working in me, because what I see is when I'm focused on myself, when I'm thinking about what's inconvenient for me, what's just difficult, right, other people to deal with, that's when I'm not able to love, when I sin and when I struggle. And that's the great contrast of when I am filled in myself, self-centered, what happens to me versus what's demonstrated in this mission trip when we're all filled with God's love and His Spirit. So I'll ask you guys to pray for all of us and for me, especially to be filled with the Spirit so we can grow, that I'm able to love people around me, sometimes people who are very, very close to me, like my mother, like my husband, like my children. So I would appreciate your prayer for me. Thank you.